Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, back on the Killer Bees. Just a segment into the 3-hour extravaganza. It is DJ Bienname sitting in with me today, an honorary Killer Bee, as Jeremy has the day off. But it is my pleasure now to bring in one of my good friends, like a family member in my Rockets family, on this anniversary day of the Houston Rockets and their second championship in a row. My good friend Mario Elie joining us now. Rio, welcome to the show. Not sure if you're aware of it or not, but I'm sure with your stints on Twitter, you know that today is the anniversary of game one of the first game of the finals against Orlando, where Kenny made a hell of a shot, Dream had a tip-in, and lo and behold, we were on our way to our second chip.
Yeah, it was sort of the momentum of that series. You know, they were beating us by a lot of points. I really loved the poise we had. We didn't panic, called the timeout, regrouped, made a nice slow run the end of that second quarter, sort of cut into that lead, and Kenny sort of took over that third quarter, got us in the game, back in the game, and Dream sort of finished it off. And we felt after that game, we sort of look in their eye. They're down there celebrating when they were up big, but after we beat them, we saw a look of doubt, and we went on and took care of the rest of the series.
Rio, we talk about it, but Nick Anderson had a big part in that, too. I remember all of them celebrating, and then suddenly they thought they had they went from big stones to tiny pebbles when the rubber hit the road and they needed some free throws. And my goodness, I mean, that literally changed the entire series, because I remember going into game two, you guys, we were all in that traveling group. Everybody was really close and together, but everybody was kind of freestyling going into shoot around. And Rudy called everybody around center court and said, he basically opened up a can and said, if y'all don't focus, they're going to beat you by 20, because they think they should have beat you in game one. And you guys just absolutely took them to the woodshed.
Yeah, we were confident after the game one. That's why I felt we went into the shoot around relaxed. We knew it was at stake, but we felt we broke their confidence. And we went into that game two. And Sam really stepped off the bench. I think that 34 points. And, you know, you had the constant and Green and Clyde. And once we beat them two down there, we're not coming back, especially having, you know, three home games in a row. Back then it was 2-3-2. So I'm glad they changed it back to the normal way. And 2-2-1-1-1, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, you know what, Mary, and I think about that, and you and I have talked about a lot of this stuff, but for the listener's standpoint, basketball's changed so much. That was a physical brand of basketball. You guys could get away with hand-checking. You guys could knock a guy down if he was scoring down the lane. Do you think that this team, with that kind of inverted offense, that inside-out and everything, that Rudy was the innovator of, do you think this team, that team in this era would have had a lot more success than even what you had back then?
I just think we could have played in this era for sure, you know, especially with our center being so agile and being able to do so many things. And then Green didn't need a three-point shot. Green is so good. He can shoot the mid-range. I mean, go to him on the box. He can score a good free-throw shooter. And he didn't just impact the game on the offensive end. He impacted the game on the defensive end. I think he's a big that can switch on to guards and guard them. Not consistently, but he can guard them. You can switch on to a guard. No, that's what they do. That's what they're doing in today's game, a big switch. And, you know, it's a big thing in the game right now that you have to be able to guard guys off the dribble. But, and then we had guys who can shoot the three. The things that we had were guys who were two-way players. We like to defend as well. And that's what I'm seeing from the Celtic team. They got like four guys out there that I feel who play both ends of the floor, who can defend. So, and switch and guard, they make it difficult, they're tall, they're long and physical, and we were sort of the same way.
Mario, this is DJ Bienname with ESPN. Quick question. So you know, we could just kind of touched on the fact that you feel like you guys could have played in today's era, but, you know, a lot of people from the outside looking in always feel that guys that played back in the old day couldn't play in today's era. Why do you think that is, that people don't have the respect of the guys from the old days compared to now?
They really don't watch the games. You know, they don't do their research. Now, you know, back in our day, you know, I go back and watch my old games. Sometimes I love watching it play back in the day. But it's sometimes hard to find the games. You know, nowadays, you know, you can get any game. You know, you can get all the games and watch all the games. But you telling me, like a Sean Kemp, I mean, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, Stockton, these guys, of course, Michael Bird, all these guys could have played in this era easily, as skilled as they were. You know, I mean, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, to me, are the most. I know they say Kyrie the most skilled, but I think those two guys are the most skilled guys, basketball players I ever seen in my lifetime. And it's just the rule changes, and it tells you how good these guys were back in my era in the 90s, that they can score through contact. It was guys that didn't really bother guys. They understood it was going to be a physical game, and guys adjusted and played, and the refs back then allowed the players to decide the game.
Rio, you know, the other I saw Big Shot Rob the other day on a podcast with Dan Patrick or a show, and he was talking about, you know, the whole discussion of Michael, LeBron, and he said, look, well, first and foremost, Kobe's got to be in that discussion because, you know, to me, not no disrespect to LeBron, and everybody thinks if you pick someone other than LeBron that you're actually disrespecting right. LeBron. I think it goes to what you were just talking about in the fact that the closest guy that I ever saw – and I looked. I worked in the NBA. My first game as a ball boy was Michael's first game in Chicago with the Bulls against the Bucks in Milwaukee, and you could tell he was different and he was special. No matter how talented LeBron is, no matter what records he has, the closest thing to him in terms of that kind of killer mentality was Kobe. I remember you were coaching for Sacramento, and I texted you after a game. Y'all were playing them. There was like less than 10 seconds left. They were up by like 6 or 9 points. He hit three of the most incredible. Hang in the air, square his shoulder, three-pointers to beat y'all. And I just shook my head, and I was texting you, and you were like, yeah, man, he was different. Don't you feel like he belongs somewhere in that conversation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. And like you said, the mentality and going on winning two championships without Shaq, I mean – with the physical play, you know, Kobe wasn't the biggest. It's like him and Jordan weren't the biggest, strongest. But, man, their skill set, being able to create space, being able to get to their spots, pump fake, footwork, on the box, mid-range, three-pointer, getting to the free throw line. These dudes were just extraordinary. I mean, LeBron is big and strong. He runs down the lane. I mean, he's athletic. He's a finish. He's 6'5". You know, with the rule changes, you can't really forearm him or slow him down. He's able to, you know, he's 260, 6'9", 260. If you can't just put a hand or forearm him, he's going to get to the basket, he's going to get any way he has to go. It's not no disrespect, but if you look at the other two guys, the skill set, the footwork, the mid-range game, you know, the finish at the rim package, I mean, phenomenal. I mean, also, I mean, Jordan and Kobe, I mean, got a chance to play against both of them dudes. I mean, killers. And that's the difference. You know, that's the difference in those two and LeBron.
You mentioned that contact. And obviously, you know, back in the day when you guys played, you had hand check. How much do you think that actually makes a factor, change the totality of the game and how you guys play, how the game is played now versus when you could hand check and versus when you couldn't? How much has that elevated how much you need skill compared to back in the day or compared to now?
Well, now I'm enjoying that they're letting these guys play a little bit. Dudes are whining and complaining. I'm enjoying that the refs are swallowing the whistle. They're allowing these guys to play a little bit. And then now guys got to adjust. They're not used to it. You know, guys are complaining, hands up. I want to run back on D. I mean, you got to adjust to how the game is being officiated. And especially now, our game is sort of European type of game, spread offense, pick and roll. attacker mismatch, big, shoot threes, everybody shoot threes. So we were inside outside the game. We had good centers back when we played. We had excellent big men back when we played. Dre, David Robinson, Ewing, Alonzo, Dikembe, you go to Barkley, you go to Malone, you go to Kemp, and you go to Payton and Stockton and Kevin Johnson. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it's just, you know, now the bigs are sort of coming back a little bit. You know, it's good to see Jokic, it's good to see Embiid. You know, those guys don't really dominate the game.
Yeah, Rio, that's exactly where I was going. I see Dream pretty regularly now. And he's working out his sons, and he still looks like he could play. But the thing to me is always, he didn't get enough credit for being a guy that no matter the era, he was just so gifted, not just athletically, because it's one thing to say, oh, he's fast, he's quick, he could, but his skill level was on a different planet in terms of, it wasn't just the Dream Shake, it was his footwork and his ability to recover. And I think that the Joker's the one guy that gets a raw deal. Everybody looks at him and says, well, he's not rocked up. He's not physically what a great, one of the greats in the game should look like. But when you see him play, that should be the decide-all, be-all. That shows you this dude is, he's special.
No question. The Joker's a baller, man. I mean, he makes it look so easy. You don't speed him up. I mean, him and Luka, the good players, either one of them are super athletic. You know what I'm saying? But the skill set, the intelligence, how they read the game, how the understanding of the game is what I like about both of those young men. I mean, Jokic, I mean, he's the point guard. You know, Popeye Jones, good friend of mine, he's an assistant coach with the Nuggets. I mean, with him, you don't need a point guard. That's why him and sort of Jamal Murray work so well, because he plays off the ball and Joker is the decision maker. And he plays below the rim. You know, they need to play above the rim and shoot the three. He poses up. I like when, you know, switch smaller guys on him. He doesn't mess around with him. He takes a bite to the box. He's an excellent rebounder. I mean, he's just so still. I just felt they lost a lot out of their bench this year. Denver, you know, with Jeff Green and losing Brown, they just didn't have enough. But he's definitely one of the best players.
Well, Rio, we got to take a break. If you can hang with us for the other side of the break, I want to get into this because it always, personally, and for a lot of reasons, you know, it chaps my rear end that you aren't a head coach in this league. And now we've got this situation with the Lakers and, you know, J.J. Redick going right from the broadcast booth and playing to suddenly being considered. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that and the finals and some stuff if you can hang a little bit. Just let me get through a commercial break.
Sounds good.
Okay, Mariotti's going to join us for one more segment. Hang with us. Much more coming up right here on the Killer Bees on a Friday on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Yeah, you heard the man out at Sam Houston Race Park. Jeremy is off today. My good friend DJ Bienname is in with me and Mario Ellie joining us for another segment on the anniversary of the win in Game 1 against the Orlando Magic in 1995. And Rio, you know, I've been your biggest proponent throughout the years of saying you should be a head coach in the NBA, and it was timing more than anything when you didn't get it. And I know these kind of things have to be frustrating for you, but J.J. Redick, the latest guy to fall in the wings of Derek Fisher and Jason Kidd and guys like that, where you put in, you paid your dues. You put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears as an assistant to climb the ranks, to get to the possibility of being a head coach, and then we're basically hindered by the fact that your team went deep into the playoffs when other teams were hiring coaches, and then the cycle changed, and they kind of moved on, and it sucks. But your thoughts on the Lakers now, looking at a guy like Hurley, and also being rumored to have been seriously considering a guy like J.J. Redick?
I just think the Lakers job is a tough job. This is the new business of the NBA. I thought both prior coaches did a very good job in Vogel and Darwin Ham with the Lakers. And I just think that's a tough job. I think Dan Hurley's a pretty good name, in my opinion, because they're talking about they want this guy to be a long-term guy. That's what they need. It's been a lot of instability with the Lakers organization as far as coaching. So they need to get this one right. LeBron don't have a lot of time left. Anthony Davis is at the peak of his career. And I think they need to get younger. So I think the key thing now, a lot of coaching staffs are getting a lot of player development guys. Our league is young. And then a lot of these guys need to be developed. You know, a lot of players need to be developed. So whoever gets that job, I wish them luck. They get the immediate hot seat because it's championship or bust. And like you mentioned, Joe, it happens for some guys like Jason Kidd, Steve Kerr. These guys didn't have experience.
Steve Nash.
He was in the finals. Steve Kerr won 4 championships.
Mario, so in regards to J.J., let's say hypothetically J.J. gets the job, right? You played in the league. You coached in the league. What is the biggest hurdle for a first-time NBA coach that doesn't have that much coaching experience? Well, obviously, J.J. has no coaching experience. So what do you think would be the biggest challenge for him going from having not, you know, coach to now being in charge of an entire organization?
You have to have your best players buy into what you're selling. So it's building a relationship with Anthony Davis. I feel Anthony Davis, he's the guy moving forward. I feel LeBron, that doesn't have a lot left. I mean, even though he's solid and he has that aura. And he has a build relationship with Anthony Davis out there, and I think the offense should run through him. The dude is super talented. Made all NBA team offensively and defensively. So he had a hell of a year. I think that's to build that relationship with the superstars. And once if the superstar allows himself to get coaching trickles down to the rest of the squad.
Mario now doing some scouting for the Pelicans. I also wish he was still broadcasting the Rockets games, but I'm glad you're back in the game again because I think you belong in the game. Rio, I'm curious your thoughts on the Rockets now. We're getting dangerously close to where you have to make a decision on guys like Şengün and Jalen Green. And me personally, I look at Jalen Green and I think the jury is still out. And I don't know how long that they're going to be deliberating, but you see flashes. But you know that one wrong move by an organization these days could be a death sentence if you decide to max him out and then he doesn't end up to be a max player. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on like the Rockets and how important this offseason is, especially as it pertains to Jalen Green and maybe Alpi Şengün?
I mean, I think a lot of teams in the West have a huge offseason, especially as tough as the West is. I mean, the Rockets got the third pick in the draft, so. And you're right, Joe. They got some tough decisions they have to make. I know they can't keep all those guys. They go at least lose at least 2 guys from that core. So it's going to be interesting who they keep, who they believe in. You know, Şengün was having a great year to the injury. Then when he went down, Jalen Green just exploded. Got player of the month in March. He was amazing. He was showing flashes what he can be on a consistent basis. So it's going to be interesting. They got a great coach. I really like what Ime has brought to the table. He's brought some defensive toughness. The Rockets have been in a lot of games. You know, they've been injured a lot this year. A lot of their key players have been injured. Easton missed most of the year, so it's going to be interesting when he comes back, how he fits in the fold. Then you got the emergence of I call him Killer Cam. And Killer Cam Whitmore, he comes in.
Yeah.
Firing, so they got a good young core, but yeah, they got some tough decisions to make. Who they want to keep and how they want to play. You know, with Şengün, you play a half court game, but when Jalen, you know, when Şengün was out, the Rockets were playing a lot faster. It looked like a more fun brand of basketball.
So you don't think it's possible to keep that young core together, or would you do what there's a rumor that they're thinking about doing, trading a couple of those young pieces to try and acquire more of a true superstar player?
Yeah, if you're a coach, you want to win now. You're in the business now. His coach don't have a long life expectancy. And he may be one of the better coaches in this league. You know, I'm sure he would want some veterans around. He's trying to win now. He's trying to get to the playoffs now. The Rockets got a ton of young guys. I mean, how many young guys do you want on the squad? You want a guy, you go to move a couple of these young guys, you want a proven guy that's going to come help your squad. I thought Van Fleet was a big pickup for them. I thought they needed a point guard. He brought stability to the lineup. He doesn't turn the ball over. He makes great decisions with the ball. He gets the ball to the right place. I thought he really, him and Sangoon in the pick and roll, when Sangoon was rolling, was very effective. And he brought some a nice veteran presence, won a championship, and I thought that was a huge pickup for them.
Jabari Smith, the other day, when he went to the NBA Finals, he asked Jason Tatum, what is it like to be a guy that's underwhelming throughout the first few years of his career? How do you get through that? How would you assess how Jabari Smith has played through his first two seasons in the NBA?
I got to keep remembering how young he is. He's still a very young man. Is he 21 yet? I don't know if he's legal yet. He's still a very young man. This is a tough game. I mean, NBA game is not an easy game to really conquer. You know, they expect a lot of these young guys, these high draft pick or super young guys, to have immediate impact. And you got grown men in this NBA who have pride, who don't want no young guy really showing them out. So these young guys got to learn the game. They got to get stronger. They got to understand where the offense comes. I feel Jabari at times is a little inconsistent. You know, he can have 24 and 16 one game, and the next game have 6 and 3. Mm-hmm. So he has to work on his consistency. I think he's got to be a little stronger. He did a nice job when Sangoon went down and played the 5 spot. I thought he was very effective there, getting transition threes and really spacing the floor for Jalen, you know, and Van Fleet.
Rio, before I let you go, finals. I said Celtics in 6. I'm curious what you think. I just thought that defensively, the Celtics able to put Holiday and White on Luka and Kyrie and kind of free up Tatum and Brown so that they don't get it. Because Luka gets exhausted sometimes when he has to play D. I'm curious if you think game one was significant in being what the series is going to look like, or you feel like Dallas is going to jump right back in.
I think Dallas is still in the series, but I'm with you, Joe. I like the Celtics. I just like their depth. And like you said, they took away the lob. I'm really impressed with what Boston did this first game. They really took Lively and Dak without them. Mm-hmm. They didn't allow those guys to get easy buckets. I didn't understand what Minnesota was doing, just giving up lob after lob after lob. Or you got Gilbert and Towns out there. I thought the Celtics did a great job of taking that away and limited their corner threes. They only had one corner three the whole game. So Celtics was on point. And like you said, their versatility on defense. And also you could put Brown and Tatum on Kyrie and Luka. So they got a bunch of guys they can put on those two guys. And Porzingis is going to be an X factor.
Yeah.
They got 6 guys. You know, Harper could have a big game. White could have a big game. And Holiday could have a big game. They just got so much flexibility on both sides of the ball.
Am I wrong thinking that it's like in a chess match, it's Dallas's move? Because it seems like all Boston did was just use the pick and roll or get in switches to where they created mismatches. Porzingis got off because he had a foot and a half of space over every defender that he had, and it seems like Dallas has to figure out how to avoid getting caught in those mismatches.
You know what I hate, Joe? Nobody fights over screens no more. It's just a soft switch. I don't know why. I remember in our day, Rudy T always wanted us to stay matched up, so I would fight over the screen to stay with my matchup. I didn't want Dream or Otis or one of our bigs having to deal with these good guards, you know, that we had back then, like a Stockton or a Payton, you know, guys like that, or Strickland. So I don't understand these guys. That's the new defense now. Do anybody want to switch? I'm with you. I don't know why these guys switch all the time, if these guys are attacking the mismatch. I just wish Boston would go to the hole a little bit more. They just love shooting jump shots.
Right.
And as good as they are, I wish they would just attack the paint, because Dallas, you know, can't really handle. These guys got weapons.
Well, man, I sure appreciate you doing this for me today, and always great catching up with you. You know, I love you, and it's a great day to catch up with you, because we agreed to do this before I realized it was the anniversary of the first game of the second championship series. So enjoy the weekend, and always appreciate you catching up with us.
Great catching up with you, family. Keep up the good work, my brother. Great chatting with you guys, man.
There you go, Mario Elie and the Kiss of Death, one of your Rockets' all-time greatest. We're going to take a break, come back with a whole lot more. We got Todd Callis still coming up in the 4 o'clock hour when we talk some Astros. We'll be back with more on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Hey, before we go to the break, though, I do want to tell you, look, the weekend is upon us. It's going to be really hot outside, guys. If you had a tee time and you're debating, do I really want to go out there and sweat for 5 hours, you don't have to. You can go to X Golf and Katy, and you can have yourself a good old time. Play golf in about a third of the time in about an hour, hour and a half. You can get 18 holes of golf in on 50 different courses worldwide on the best golf simulators I've ever been around and ever tried. It is fantastic, and it's X Golf Katy. X Golf has the best simulators in the country. The only X Golf simulators around this area are in Katy. You can go online and check out X Golf Katy and book yourself a simulator. And go in, and for basically the price of a round of golf, you and three buddies can play a round of golf in about an hour and a half. And it's also a great sports bar. So you can watch the sports that are on that day. You can get yourself some good food and beverage. And have yourself a great time and save some time when you talk about how long it normally takes to play golf. And the elements, they aren't a factor. It's air conditioned. The simulators are great. You can play your own golf ball if you want by putting them in the simulator. You can use it like a driving range, too. And with Shot Tracker, it tracks every shot, the distance, spin, direction, and everything else. Even the putting and chipping is fantastic. You got to check it out. If you're a golfer, you go there once, you'll be there all the time. You can hit the golf range at night, when the weather's bad. Whenever you want, you can go to X Golf and you can get some golf in. And, of course, that sports bar element just makes it that much better. Tell them I sent you by. Go in today and check out X Golf, Katy.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.